cabeza. God's eagle, and I know he will guide me and keep me. Just want to follow, oh, with all our hearts tonight, the way that you will lead me. Just want to follow the way that you will go. Amen. For I know, you will lead me in the footprint. Thank you, Lord, that you have led. Father, we thank you tonight. We sing this little song, dear God. Lord, remind us of your promise. You spoke for your prophet, and he says, the next message, dove leading the eagle. There's a message coming forth. The Holy Spirit was to come to take the sons and daughters of God back to this great faith civilization, Lord. Leading us home, taking us back to that theophany. Back to the millennium and the great hereafter, the great pillar of fire in this hour. Lord, how we thank you. How we thank you, dear God, because what we believe that we see it, Lord, coming to pass, Father. As your prophet says, it's coming from negative to positive. And dear God, as these things are being made real in our hearts and our lives, when we approach your presence like this, coming into your house and being gathered together for service, Lord, it gives us such a great anticipation. It put an expectation in our hearts, dear God. Lord, we can see you come on the scene. We can see you take the bread of life and break it, dear God. And see that word open up a way, Father, to lead us into a deeper faith, to lead us into a deeper life, a deeper consecration, Lord. Oh, that we can walk in the power of the Spirit, that we can live in victory, oh God. That we can see all things come under our feet in this hour. Isn't this your promise, Lord? Isn't this what you're going to bring your children to in this hour? Lord, isn't this the day when you said the whole creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God? Isn't this the very message, dear God, that has opened up that way, that has made this revelation plain? Lord God, to see the Holy Spirit by the revelation of the word, bringing the sons of God into manifestation in this hour. Lord, I pray tonight that these realities, oh God, would get greater and greater in our lives. And Lord, as we come to sit at your feet tonight, oh, we'll hear from heaven the voice would speak with such clarity. The word, oh God, would open up and bring such a faith to our hearts, Lord, that Lord, we can understand more clearly. We can see more perfectly, Lord, how you are bringing these things to pass in our lives, that we can know how to yield, we can know how to surrender, we can know how to approach the conditions, Lord, in our home, in our life, in our environment, even things in the church, dear God, that we can see every member of your body come into place, and them, dear God, who are predestinated to be in that body, come to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and take that place. where it can grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord. That this church can come to its perfection, Lord. God, may you grant it, we pray. We look to you tonight. We pray, dear God, that you'd be mindful of the needs among us tonight. We pray, dear God, that you look down and see the ones you have gathered, and you know the situation in every life. You know the condition, oh God, that everyone is facing. You know just what we have need of at this time. What needs to be spoken, dear God. Lord, I pray that you just bring us into that channel, dear God, and you would speak to us, Lord. Lord, like you took the disciples up that mountain that time. You wanted to give them an experience. You transfigured yourself before them. Oh, God, you did it for a purpose, that they might be our witnesses of your majesty as you made known the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus. So tonight, we pray you take us up into the cleft of the rock like you took Moses that time, Lord. Lord, when he went to see you, he said, Lord, show me your glory. And Lord, you had to put him in a certain place where you can reveal yourself to him, Lord. So put us in that place tonight, Father, that we can see your glory tonight. That we can see you when you pass by. That we can hear what you say, Lord. That we can benefit from being here tonight. That when we leave this place tonight, Lord, we leave with a deeper conviction in our hearts than when we came in. We'll be more channeled, dear God, to see the Spirit of God bring to pass the promises of God in our lives. Lord God, forgive us our sins and our shortcomings, our mistakes, our failures, where we're lacking, dear God, our slothfulness. Lord, we come, we desire to lay these things aside, every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. We desire to run this race, and we desire to run with patience, looking unto you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Oh God, have your way tonight in this service. Get on and glory to thy great name. Remember thy servant standing here. Lord, I'm dependent upon you, trusting you as I come in this pulpit tonight, that you just give me the word to speak, and I'd be so under the divine leadership of your Spirit, dear God. And Lord, you just anoint me to minister grace to the hearts of your children, that they might be assisted, Lord. And I pray you bless each and every one that's gathered here. Lord, they've come into your house tonight working. Lord, this midweek service, and many, oh God, tired maybe from this day of work, but coming in to be at the post of duty, coming in, oh God, to take up the position, because they know, dear God, we do have many more days. And Lord, every time we come together, how we want to capitalize, I pray, dear God, you would bless them for the sacrifice they made to be here tonight, and just what they have need of, you will give it to them, Father. Their hearts might be encouraged, and they can rise up with greater faith. We commit this service in your hands now, and we thank you in advance for what you will do. For we pray and believe these things, and we ask it in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Blessed be his name. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Genesis. We'd like to start there tonight and maybe look at Revelation as well. And you know how much we could cover and what we can cover. We'd like to recap some of the things and let's see how the Lord will lead tonight. Seems that everything is getting busy, and we just trying to do all we can for the saints, and we all could benefit from what God is doing for us at this time. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2:18-22 is where God saw it was not good for man to be alone, and he put Adam to sleep, take a rib from him, and made a wife for him, a helpmeet, and then he brought her unto him, and God instituted that institution of marriage. And verse 25 says, and they were both naked, man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, shall God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now catch that there. It has to do with eating. Because God said, who tell you is naked? Have you eaten? Because eating will bring the realization of your nakedness. See? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And let's drop down to verse 21, because from verse 14 to 19, God, you know, put judgment upon the serpent. He brings sorrow and, you know, in conception, multiply conception to the woman. And then to Adam, he cursed the ground, that it don't yield as it ought to. By the sweat of his brow he had to eat. And verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. For Adam also and for his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And I would like to get one more in Revelation chapter 3. Verse 17 and 18. Because thou seest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. God is telling them, they know not that they are wretched, they know not that they are miserable, they know not that they are poor, they know not that they are blind, and they know not that they are naked. Now Genesis 2:25 tells you Adam and Eve was naked and they didn't know it. Now the last day church is naked again and don't know it. But is a perversion, a complete perversion of what it was in the beginning. So it brings to our attention here that we can look and we see that. So he says, and I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Here the church is naked this last day, and when you look out there, you see them dressed with the best of clothes. You see, so, I mean, they have all their clothing that could cover the outer man that they need of. But God now is not offering them clothing, more clothing for the body, by saying, come buy me white raiment. God is offering them back the clothing that he clothed them with in the beginning. We come to the end of the age here now, you see. It's time for the rapture. The seventh age takes the rapture, like Enoch the seventh from Adam takes the rapture. See, going to another civilization. And to go there, you can't go there in this body. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom. That's why we have to get a change here to go there. Same way we come here without a body, we just be a spirit moving around. But we had to have a body to come here to contact this world. That's why you could see me and hear me tonight. That's why you're here in the service and you travel and you come here, because you're in a physical body. I can look at you and see you. We can shake each other's hand. So I consult above me, gold track in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, not as many as love me, but as many as I love. The emphasis is on the I love. See? Which is God love is elective. I rebuke and chasten, be zealous, therefore and repent. And that's the zeal for the age, is repentance, to repent. And just one more scripture here with that. Revelation 16, verse 15, one verse we're going to take. This is a little interval here between the 6th and 7th vial. 6th vial is Revelation 16, 12, and the 7th vial is Revelation 16, 17 to 21. And this is an interval injected here between the 6th and 7th vial, when those three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the beast and the false prophet and the dragon and so on. And right in there he injects, "Behold, I come as a thief," verse 15. "Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Blessed is he that keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked. And he's not talking about, like you see a vagrant down high street and you have no clothes on. He's not talking about that. Revelation 3, he's offering you a garment, buy of me, white raiment. And Adam and Eve had a garment, but they lost the garment, and then they ended up naked. So if God gives you a garment, you hold fast your garment, that you don't walk naked and no man see your shame. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we feel such a peace and quietness here tonight. Just like we would sit down in our living room or around our dinner table and at our home and break bread and just talk things over sometimes in quietness. Maybe this is the atmosphere you want tonight, Lord, to communicate the things that need to be communicated. Even though we sit here in the quietness, give us the alertness of mind and spirit, bring us in that channel and that we can really enter into the realms of the spirit, that you can make known to us these great happenings in this day that we are living in, Lord. These great things that is coming to pass, the world cannot see it. The church world is ignorant about it. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is here to give divine revelation to the elect, preparing them and making them ready. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. It hath been granted unto her to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And here we see that white raiment being offered, and how we want to be clothed in it, dear God. We can come up to you clothed. When you appear, we shall be like you, because we shall see you as you are. You promise that in your word. Take these truths and break it down tonight and make it real. That might inspire faith and give understanding to the hearts of your children in this hour that we are living, that they can really live with expectations, seeing the lateness of the hour. And Lord, the message you have sent to prepare and make a people ready, they can truly grasp it with the reality that we need to see it in, that might become effective in our lives. Granted, we pray, we ask these things in Jesus' wonderful and precious name. Amen. God bless you. May I have a seat. Amen. Well, we want to welcome every one of you out to service tonight. And we were speaking on some things yesterday, Sunday, and I know that some of you, to grasp it, sometimes it could be maybe a different concept to what you might have had and what you might have been looking for. But, you know, it's something about the word. You hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it, and then one day you say, "I've heard, but now I see." Now I understand, begin to make sense to you. Because, you know, it was like that with Jesus. He was talking with his disciples. He was going to raise Lazarus. And he said, Lazarus is asleep and I go to wake him up. And then one says, Lord, if he's asleep, well, it do him good because, you know, he's been working very hard lately. And they wasn't understanding he was talking about a resurrection. Then he said, Lazarus is dead and I go to raise him. Then they misunderstand again. They say, well, let's all go and die with him. And then, you know, one time again, he was there and he was speaking. And he was, you know, introducing the word for that day and causing the people to realize what age they were living in, the time that they were living in. John had come, the prophet was sent to forerun him. And now the great one that they looked forward for, their father, was on the scene here. And he was talking about this father, how great he was and, you know, what was happening and how he is the father who did the works and he cannot do anything, you know. And then after a while, they say, Lord, show us the father. Let's suffice it us. We want to see this father. And he said, have I been so long with you and you don't know me? When you see me, you see the father. And we realize, you know, sometimes the word is like that. We are wrong the word. We're following the word. We believe the word. We hold on to the word. And yet we don't know the word. And, you know, then he turned one time and he says, whom do men say I, the Son of Man? And boy, you know, they had all kind of different ideas. And then he said, Peter, he said, whom do you say? And they said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Philip and all of them was right there. Yet they didn't know. And Philip was still asking to see the Father. See, so it's confusing sometimes. And, you know, when you really begin to get in the Spirit, the Bible said, John was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. He said, if John had to be in the Spirit to get the revelation, how much more are we to be in the Spirit to understand the revelation? John was in the Spirit to see a woman clothed in a scarlet color beast. How much more are you to see you live in the day and you can identify the woman who sits on seven hills and that system and you know what beast, what power is in that woman, carrying that woman around. It takes much more revelation this hour. And then you get to realize, you know, these things, friends, the word, you really need to grasp it. We fellowship in the day, I was telling one of the brothers that says, you know, 1965, Brother Abraham says, he said, now beginning to understand the message. He said, you've been hearing it intellectually all this time, but how we need to lay in the presence of the Son. And here he was preaching all his visions and explaining the seals have been opened and the churches have been preached and they've been shown in the sky, the pillar of fire coming, tabernacle and right and everything else. And yet he turned around and says, and you've been hearing it intellectually all this time. And so it is, sometimes we hear in the word and things for it to really break forth in reality to bring faith. Because when it is revealed and it produces the faith inside of us, and then that word begin to govern our life, our every move. Like Moses' mother had taught him a lot of things, you see. And the prophet said, but not until he came in the presence of the pillar of fire, when he met the light that brought the word to a reality, something that he could speak to and could speak back to him. He said he never had to run in the wilderness no more. But he knew who he was. He knew he was born a proper child. He knew that the Israelites is God's people. He knew God promised deliverance. He knew God gave the promise to Abraham. He knew there's a land waiting there for them. He knew 400 days had passed. He checked the time. He knew it's time for the Messiah, the messenger to rise on the scene to bring deliverance. He knew all those things and yet didn't have the faith to produce what was required in that hour. Sometimes the teaching is fine, but the prophet said we need personal contact. And he said the teaching doesn't do it. He said the reason we have all this division is because the teachers lack the revelation. That's why we have all this division. Because teaching, just studying and trying to put things together. But it takes God to come in that word and quicken that word and bring that word to life. When that word comes alive in the present tense, then you receive faith. Amen. And then that word begin to be made spirit and life within you. Amen. Then it's something completely different. That's why even the men on the road to Emmaus, they walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. And then they was telling Jesus, haven't you heard the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth? Boy, they was witnessing to Jesus about Jesus. See? And when they was witnessing to him, and they say, but they were sad and they was gloomy.
Oh, they knew everything he did. But you know what it did? It produced gloom and sadness, and everything fall apart now, and now we come to the end, and we don't know what to do. And he took a six-hour message on prophecy. At the end of the six-hour message, they had resurrection faith. Amen. After 3.5 years being in the meetings, following around, seeing all the miracles, everything that he did. But they never understood how the program for the age was being fulfilled. And they said, oh, fools and slow of heart. To believe all, not to believe all that the prophet has spoken. See? And that is the same way you see Brother Branham preach the message 5 times. Modern events make it by prophecy. Events make it by prophecy. And 3 times, when the eyes were opened. And he took Luke 20, 24, and he identified from verse 13 to verse 32. And he left it. He never went beyond verse 32. See? Because here was Jesus in the resurrection among the people, identifying his presence among them, opening the scriptures. Because that way he opened the scriptures to them. See? He said, our hearts burn with us when he opened to us the scriptures. Luke 24, 32 is he opened the scriptures. Luke 24, 45, he opened the understanding that they might understand the scriptures. 1963, he opened 7 seals and he said, you're not supposed to get it. You don't even try to put an interpretation to it. You're going to make a cycle and come back around. He said, God's going to give you ABCs. And those who have been obedient in the ABC, when the algebra come along, you're going to catch it. See, now it's not ABC, now it's algebra. This is the algebra time. This is the time the prophet is going to come back around. And when it come back around more in season, then it brings the faith. Because the book has been opened, but our understanding was shut up. When we express what we understood, we understood God's in a prophet. Mighty indeed in the word, how the sword came in his hands in Bino Canyon, and how the cloud came in Arizona, and you know how he spoke to the storm in Colorado, and how he gives us the hearty wife and 2 boys up in the hills of Kentucky, and how he spoke to the squirrels in the woods. And then we still didn't realize what took place. What he was doing. How he comes from that first pole and he was attracting the attention. First pole contact the flesh. Demonology in the physical realm. See? Contact the flesh. He said you have to hold them by the hand. But then the Holy Spirit said, you don't have to hold them by the hand no more. He's going to go a little greater than that. And he begins to discern the spirit even before they come to him. He says, here is a lady. I see her traveling. I see some hills. She's coming from a certain country. And he named the place. He said, I see her. She visited a doctor 2 days ago. And the doctors, and they give up. Tell her she is going to die. She had had about 4 operations. But the cancer is all over her now. And there's no hope for her. But thus said the Lord. And he called her name and said, you are he, lady. Right? And it went from the flesh to the spirit. See? And when it went in the realm of the spirit, then God says, there's still one pole of it to come again. There's still another pole that's going to come. And that first pole and second pole, that was the signs to attract the people's attention. But the third pole is going to go to the soul, and that soul is that attribute of God, God taught, that come into flesh. That soul is the real you. And then it was not going to take that gift to catch that soul. He said, the third pole will catch the rainbow trout. It's the third pole, the opening of the word. See, you're not going to rejoice because the devil is subject to you. You have a little gift or something. The third pole now was going to be the giver of the gifts. First and second pole was the gifts. The third pole was the giver of the gifts, the life of the gifts. And life had to connect with life. And when he was being unveiled, like when Jesus said, he said, whom do men say the Son of Man? He said, thou art the Christ. He said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. When he made himself known to them, he made known to them who they are as well. He said, behold, thou art Nathanael, and he said, whom there's no guile. He said, Rabbi, thou art the king of Israel. See? He said, woman, you have 5 husbands. He said, I know Nisakam. He says, I'll speak to you of he. So when he unveils himself, he makes known to us who we are too. Because when he shows what he is, he shows what we are potentially. When the mama eagle came flying, and the little eagle see this great big thing. He said, you are this. Don't look at me like you see some funny thing. He said, you are the same thing. You're going to grow to become this. He said, you don't know chicken down there. He said, you think you're a chicken, but you're just like me. rise up. And then the eagle began to discover his potential because he saw the mammon veil. See? And to bring him out of his condition, it couldn't take a little one like him hopping around like him. Had to take a big one who learned to fly, who learned to hunt its own food. Who could sweep down and pick him up and take him for a ride in the sky. Amen. You get one of the barnyard posts, you're clocking at the same time and you're trying to screech at the same time, they're bringing a hybrid song. But you get a real big eagle, brother, flying. One that knows he's a eagle. Amen. Brother, watch and see how quick the others wake up. It don't take no time because he knows everything that he must pass to count the seed to the full expression of the thing. He knows. You see, that's why God takes one and he makes the journey. And then he can come back and tell you, no, this is how you put your hand in the sleeve. This is how you walk here. This is how you do this over here. This is how you do that over here. And then all you have to do is take it and walk in it. And that's how the victory comes. See, when God said, let there be light, God said, let there be a glare, or let there be a small lightning, or going to be a big light. God said, let there be light. God called for a manifested word to quicken the thing and drive the darkness back. Bring the seed up because he knows what is required. Amen. And you know, when Jesus was there, he had to reveal who he was to them. And you watch how he started with the healing, the first pull in the flesh, and in the second pull he went to the discernment of the spirit. You want to do well, daughter, thy faith has saved thee. You want the blood issue and so on. See? And then it comes to my sheep know my voice. I know my sheep and I'm known of mine. And I have 100 sheep and I'm looking for the last one to bring it back. You know, there's just so much sheep I have. And I know I have to call them. And there's some of this who's not of this fold I have to bring as well. And I'm the daughter of the sheepfold they're going to pass into. And then I'm going to know when all my sheep in my sheep book is there. In the Lamb's book of life, have everyone who is attribute, whose name is there. That's how he comes and he finds them. And when he got them, he knew what's happening. He could look in the crowd after and say, he said, these come for bread and fish. He said, just economic prosperity they're wrong for. He said, they're not interested in the real meat of the word. See? And then he looked and he said, when Tinong said, he said, have my chosen 12 and one is the devil. He still even went right there. He said, he knew his group all along. And he was preaching because he knew, in other words, he was fishing for rainbow trout. When the prophet was in the field, the angel told him, he says, look, he says, I know you don't want to catch them little fish there. You want to catch the big one. He said, no, I'm going to teach you how to catch that big one. Because that big one is a certain kind. And they will be attracted by this, but you're not going to catch them. Because the only thing that will bring them to life is they want to know who they are. See, they want to see that same word live inside of them. They don't want to sit and say, that man powerful, that man great boy, and we have a real man. They don't want that. That is good in its place. But the thing is, if God can do that through that, God, I want God to do it through me too. Amen. See, I believe I have the same bolt of cloth. I believe I can live that life. If God said a man can overcome the lust of the flesh, the pride of the eye, the lust of the eyes, I can overcome that. If God said the word cannot preeminence in a believer, I want the word to have preeminence inside of me. If the Holy Ghost will continue the work through the body and the bride of the mind of Christ and show what is done, once done the word, I know it can be done in me. I can have the mind of Christ. I can know what God wants me to do with the word. I can live that word out. They want that. They desire that. And that is what it is. See, that is what it is. And you see, as you follow the messages, and you've been hearing it, and you've been listening to it, and you're following it, understand that something happened. Let me explain something before I get in this message here. I just feel a sense of really nice quiet spirit here tonight that to talk to you about something. Now, you see, in following the word is something. Now, they saw John. They were baptized by John, the disciples. And when they saw John, John had the spirit of Elijah. He was the Elijah of that day. And Jesus was the full word that came to the prophet. And the prophet revealed the word. All right? And that word called them out of the systems, all the Sadducees and Pharisees, and now they were gathered around the word. And the word now was opening up the plan of God for their lives. You shall be witnesses of me into all the world, and I have other sheep, and I'm going to give you a commission, and then the time is going to come, you'll go and tarry, and you shall be endured poor from on high, and then the work is going to start, and upon this work I'll build my church, and so on. The words are revealed in the program. Now that's what happened to us. See? Now in that age, something was being lived out. Because Jesus, the scripture said, the woman's seed shall bruise the serpent's head. That's the first promise in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3 of redemption. It was a promise that the promiser himself was going to become in human flesh for redemption. But when the woman received the seed, when Mary received the angel visitation, she was overshadowed and she became pregnant, she received the seed. But not until Calvary, the woman's seed bruised the serpent's head. So from Bethlehem to Calvary was a history of 33 years. And for 33 years, Jesus lived out the mystery of the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi. Because he was all that word become flesh. And he said, search the scriptures and let me take everything alive. That's why he took the law and the Psalms and the prophets and all things and sealed himself. He had to live out something. He is born under the law, see, and to redeem them who were under the law. And then he came and he grew up and he went and he fulfilled everything that was required of the word in order to be a redeemer, prove he was a redeemer, came, paid the price of redemption and these things. Then, after he rose from the grave, he began to reveal to them what happened for that 33 years. How the woman had the seed. How he was that seed, how, you know, the scripture said a virgin shall conceive, how he had to be at the house of David, because God promised David the throne, why the star was to rise out of Jacob, where is he born king of the Jews, how he had to be a seed of Abraham, how he had to be born in Bethlehem, because out of Bethlehem will come for the governor. He was showing them everything that how he fulfilled the scriptures. Why his ministry went forth first with healing to get the people's attention, to get them ready for the message, and all these things. So after he revealed what he did, how he did it, that's what the prophet says, after he has done it, he comes around and shows what he did. Because when you're living it out, you don't always understand what you're going through. And people frustrate themselves by trying to figure out what they're going through. They're supposed to know what they're going through. Well, that's why he gives you your destination. He shows you what your destination is going to be. So he settled that with you to give you peace. So because you know you're not going to be lost, it's not a lost and saved thing now. He is conforming you into the image of Christ. So when you start to go through things that you don't understand, he said, think it not strange concerning these things. See? Tribulation will get patience. Patience experience. Experience bring hope. Hope that you're not be ashamed. That the love of God can be shed abroad in your heart. You are his workmanship, created unto good works. He's showing you now, he don't do that without a purpose. Then he comes along and says, see, later on, he can fine tune it for you. I had to let you pass through that because you see, this is going to come here and you needed to face this here. And that's why that was necessary. And I was training you there. Like David, when he went and faced Goliath, he could look back and see why he had a lion and why he had a bear. See, he could understand that now because he saw God, who with his foreknowledge knew what was going to come at a certain season. So God was giving him experiences, even though he could understand, but my life in danger, I wonder if I was out of the will of God, and God saved me by the skin of my teeth. God doesn't save anybody no skin of your teeth. God is training you. You know, like the mama eagle, when she busts up the nest, she didn't hate the eagles, right? When she lift them up and drop them and shake them off, she ain't trying to slam them to the ground and kill them. She teaching them to fly. And because she knows she can fly faster than they could fall, then she's not worried. She knows what she's doing with them. And then when they start to get knowledge quickened to them, understanding mama ways, and they see the training program, then now they can yield to the training, and then they can understand he has a purpose for doing what he's doing and the way he's doing it. See? And then Jesus came back. Now notice, until he didn't come back around and open what he did, they would have never go to the promise. There's no way they could go to it. But then he started to show them what he was doing and how it was achieved. And then they understood something had to be achieved, and upon the basis of what is achieved, you can receive what you are looking for. Now, we are looking for something in this hour. But we have to receive that upon a certain basis. You don't say, well, God loves me, I'm going to get it. You don't get it on that basis. It's a work that is being done, and you approach God on the basis of the work that is done. Because it is the merits of that work that God is having respect to. See? God is having respect as much as your sincerity or your works or nothing you can do. If you have any acceptance before God, it's in Christ. That is why your identification is so necessary. You see? That's why you have to be identified with it. Look, like the man comes with his lamb. If he that lamb is going to die, he's not going to put his hand on that lamb's head and identify himself with that lamb, then there's no way he could be saved on the merit of the innocence of the lamb. Now, God did the same thing, how he did for 33 years, from Bethlehem to Calvary, and then they came out, the sun was open. They said, oh, that's why that doesn't happen. That's when the first pulley went out here, healing the sick. That's when the second pulley started preaching things to thin the crowd down. See? Because he know, as long as I have all that flesh around the camp, he can't possess nothing. Like Joshua had to come and make sharp knives and circumcise them a second time and cut away the flesh from the camp. Too much of flesh was around the camp. If you're going there, because the uncircumcised cannot overcome the Philistines. The uncircumcised have no inheritance to possess. See? So sometimes people want inheritance when they're going to rapture, and a little hard preaching to shake them. And they don't realize you have to get those things on a certain basis. Flesh don't go in and inherit that. See? So then, for seven church ages now, there's a work being done. God is building a church for seven church ages. And then when that is finished, at the end of 2,000 years, then seven seals have to be opened to show what went on in the age. Because nobody didn't know what age they was in. Nobody didn't even know, you know, few of them understood the message of the age. See? And so in this age, when the work was finished, God comes along after he done it and start to show what is happening. So when the seven seals open, then we begin to see now who is elected. We begin to see who it is in that age is coming up. When we read normal history, they say Luther is a heretic. But when the seals open, it shows Luther and his people was elect and they go in the rapture. See? It shows and all them people who people thought was the church and the people, they're not going. See? Because the seals reveal who was the elect in every age and who was the messenger in every age. And then we look back and we can see how people was missing what God is doing in the age. Well, then the same way from 1965, you always hear me say from 1946 to 65, Brother Brown went out to 1946. See? Until 1946, he was a Baptist preacher in Jeffersonville. But when that angel met him, he was commissioned now because the six-point star, David, was flying over Palestine. And now he had to go because that was the sign of the fig tree putting for its bud. And when the fig tree put for its bud and all other trees, fig tree is Israel, all other trees is Gentile nations. Putting forth your bud is having revival. And Israel was having the revival, the restoration of their life, the Jews coming back in the homeland. So it is God now is going to bring a healing revival among the Gentile denominations and the Gentile nations. And so it is, a servant went out at supper time, calling the halt, the lame, the maim, and the blind. There was a healing revival taking place. All other trees was putting forth their buds too. And you know that summer is nigh. See, you know summer. Summer is when your grain come back. See? Summer is when your sun is in full strength. So Jesus was teaching those things and laid in the Bible. Now it was being made open. From 1946, when the prophet went out there, though it had many men on the field, you see, we know the rest of ages by history, but we know this age in the present tense. And because we understand the history of the rest of the ages, we should be able to understand the present tense. That's why you can see that many men, that Luther, Zwingli, Calvin, this one, in that age. A lot of them men was catching things and preaching things. But Luther, he had the direct link. He was the one that the Holy Spirit was giving the leadership for the age in. Calvin and them was preaching things, but Calvin went off. And Brother Brown said, Calvin was a murderer. See? See, then Zwingli, he went straight over into some Anglican business and went overboard too. Luther had his problems as well. But the thing is, Luther restored back the portion of word that was to come for that age. The just shall live by faith. And that was the theme of his message. See, a lot of men was preaching all over the place. They was preaching justification too. But it wasn't the theme of the message. You see, when the message, that's Brother Branham in this age. Brother Branham preached divine healing, all of them preached divine healing. Brother Branham preached repentance, Billy Graham preached repentance, all of them preached repentance, Brother Branham preached repentance. But Brother Branham had a theme of his message. He understood the age, he understood the adoption, he understood these things, the place of a son in this age. And when he brought that was different to the rest of the ministers. And that is why he could be identified differently. Though when you look out there, you just see another evangelist with a bunch of evangelists. When you take the All Things Are Possible book or the Pentecostal Charismatic History of the 20th century, he is just lumping there with everybody else. They don't seem as no messenger. They just seem as another gifted evangelist. Well, he had this kind of gift, this one had that kind of gift. Because they don't see a theme in the message. But he tells us, when that messenger of Malachi 4:5 comes, he will do two things. He had to reveal those divine revealed mystery truths contained in the seven seals, those mystery of the seven thunders, that little thing he had to turn back. In other words, you looking for this man to come and open up serpent. You'll start from serpent seed all the way to the messenger in the latter rain. He will sow the seed of the entire Bible. Then you're watching a man whose life is progressing and opening the word stage by stage by stage, bringing it right out into a man who comes to his sonship and speaks something into existence. Until a man who didn't even understand what a scripture mean. But the man's life and unfold right in the very place until the scripture work, because he was ordained and born in the channel to bring these things to pass. And that is why in the world, when you're hearing the word and you're following the word and you're listening to the word, if you don't have that extra focus to fine-tune you and you remain the fat focus, you just see our next church, you just see our next church. Now, so from AD 53 to 1965, where the seven messengers was on the earth and brought the seven messages, and then all seven messengers is removed from the earth. And all seven messengers in the sixth dimension with their people. But when all earthly messengers go, the heavenly messenger, Revelation 10, comes down. He's among the people. The great pillar of fire leading the church out in the Exodus. Taking them from the baptism of the Holy Ghost into the theophany and the millennium and the great hereafter. See, he is leading them out. Then when the first Exodus was from a natural land to a natural land. Second Exodus was a spiritual condition to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This day is from the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the theophany, into the millennium and the great hereafter, the new city, heaven, new earth. And now, so when this pillar of fire returned the last day, that's why it wasn't seen for 2,000 years. After the book of Acts, they didn't see it. Have no history of it among the people working. Yet he was there all the time. But you see, he is reserving his visible appearance and manifestation to identify certain junctions of time. See, to show the end of a dispensation, to show the appearing in the last days. See, when he appears in the last days, and you know he's here, and you hear an earthly messenger saying, he is here. He said, lady, you are standing 2 feet from God. He said, that's the closest you'll ever stand to God. He's not 2 feet from you like that, what you feel around you. That's that same life. That's that Logos. The one that created the heavens and the earth. Standing there. He said, I'm his servant. And I have to wait to see what he's going to say. See? And then you start to realize now, who was here? But it was confusing to the people. Because people, many times, they think because Brother Branham was sent to reveal the word, it means when we pick it up, we don't need no more revelation. We're just going to read it out and answer our minds. But the church is built on revelation. John the prophet didn't know who the word was. Jesus was the word, but he didn't know the word. Until the Holy Spirit, coming in the form of a dove, identified to him the word. Then when the Holy Spirit, God, John might have seen Jesus pass and then Elijah Messiah. But I said, I've seen before in the crowd, I passed down a road there, and I saw him with a few people. He looked, something attracted me. I couldn't explain what it was, but I don't like the word.
which I saw on board record, the Spirit of God coming in form of a dove. Then that spirit that came to John revealed, that same spirit revealed to Peter. He's the flesh and blood that revealed it to you, the Father that revealed it to you. Then the same one came back to Paul, and Paul said, not by the will of man, not by the will of flesh, but by revelation of the Holy Spirit. So the prophet said, notice, it's always going to be the Holy Spirit has to reveal it to you. He said, when that angel come and he tell me this and show me in the Bible, he referred to me many scriptures, and he showed to me in the Bible where those things are placed in the world. He said, day after day, that light comes and reveal what that seal was. He said, whenever he speaks, it's directly in accordance with the Bible. See? So Brother Branham is getting his revelation from the same one who gave it to John, same one who gave it to Paul, same one who gave it to Peter, come back and give it to him. He said, and that's the evidence of those who are really spirit-filled. If you're spirit-filled, the word will come to you. That's the evidence you're really spirit-filled. God in sundry times divers man spake in the prophets. He said, the Holy Ghost, man, because the Holy Ghost was in them, the word came to them. He said, and look, John had the Holy Ghost in the mother's womb, the word came to him. See? Always like that. You see, you have the Holy Ghost, you catch the revelation of the word. It's being spoken to you, and you sit down there, and the inside teacher on the inside of you teaching you what the outside teacher is bringing from the Bible. Amen. You see it, and it places you out there. You don't just hear it as information, you capture it. You don't hear it even though I say it and I refer to it on a church age level. You know the same principle on a personal level, and you bring it, the Spirit make you bring it on personally because it has something there relevant for you. See? So after he does it, he comes along and reveals it. Well, the same from 1965 to 1994, our history is being lived out too. Remember from 1946 to 65, there's no Methodist churches. In other words, there's no church in Ephesus, there's no church in this, you have a church in Jeffersonville, and you had one in New Albany down there, Junior Jackson. You had a couple of them, you had one out in 1965. November, it was dedicated on the message, what house will you build me? He was dedicating Brother Peregrine with a church in there. He said, no, we have another one out in the desert, now I have a place to preach. See? He had about three of them. That's all he had. As far as was following him as the messenger and preaching the message. Jack Morland never walked in the message, though he preached there over and over. See? When the same message says, he said, Brother Jack and they're nice man, but they haven't seen these things. Are the angels coming and the seven seals open? Because they say, Brother Bram is a nice man. He's a gifted man. He prays for the sick. But it's prophet business. Said, yes. You know what I mean? We don't believe he's no prophet. Me, he's a prophet. He said, like, you know, this one is a prophet. Alexander Dow is a prophet. Maybe Ellen G. White, she's a prophet. Prophetess, this is a prophet here. He said, but, you know, kind of Malachi 4, yeah, John the Baptist. So you hear Brother Bam over and over saying, John did not restore. The earth wasn't born after John. Why? He's dealing with a spirit there. He's doing a teaching. He's doing a teaching that people have that teaching and rejecting that last day message because they have that conception. And he's dealing with that conception and show, no, he come five times. He said, when he comes to the Jews, he's going to have Moses with him. He'll not come by himself. But in Malachi 4:5, is he, personal, pronounced, singular, one man, he's going to come by himself. He said, that's for the Gentiles right here. Because when he comes to the Jews, he comes with Moses. There's two of them, not one. See? And when you see those things, then from 1946 to 65, now around the world, we have thousands of Methodist churches. But what do you have? You have Corinthian churches. You have Galatian churches, you have Thessalonican churches, you have all different kind of churches, just like they had in the first age. See, and you know what the Corinthian church was, a message church. But if the rapture was going to take place in that age, that church was not in a rapturing condition. You had the Galatian churches, then they had lost everything that they had in the beginning. They started in the spirit, you say you end up in the flesh. So they went in a reverse gear. See? Then there are the Hebrews who was coming in. They was coming along. And then what happened? They started to walk. They saw Jesus, you know, was the Christ and so on, like how Apollos and Nicholas preached it. They hadn't come into the Holy Ghost to be saved yet. But they had a work done in them, justification, sanctification. They'd been baptized and they was coming along. And they tasted of the good word of God. They was made partakers of the heavenly gift. They was once enlightened. But they begin to neglect so great a salvation. They begin to let it slip. See? They begin to harden their heart when the Holy Spirit is speaking, And now they were fearful that they were not going to enter into the rest because they were stopping short of the promise. See? And now they wanted to go back and they begin to even forsake attending church. Because they come from the temple sacrifices. They come from all the great big ceremonial form of worship with the high priest, you know, going into the holy of holies in the brass, all the outside and all the different things going on, the trumpets being blown on the feast day, and they're bringing the sheep and so on, and then they started gathering little homes. And then they had a little farmer sound and started to preach to them now. And after a while, they started getting battle with the high priest, looking more like a high priest than that little farmer there. But they didn't realize this farmer here was after the order of Melchizedek, and it was far greater than that big ceremonial thing out there. They couldn't see the new covenant, they couldn't see the better promises. So after all, they started forsaking the assembly of themselves. And the day was approaching. You see? And they wasn't going on all the way to come into the promise. And then they started to fail. And you look today, and when you look across the churches, you see that kind of thing. And when you see it, you realize people are missing something. You know why? Because that history that has been lived out from 1965 to 1994, then there is something that had happened. We could read what happened back in the past up to 1965 in the books as far as prophecy becoming history. For us to say it is to happen, then we have to make 1965 to 1994 no prophecy is becoming history. So we're looking for something to happen. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, what is happening here in this hour? God now is opening a part of the word that was in the same message we read all along. Because when it comes, it cannot be outside the message, nor outside the Bible. Because in the days of the voice of the song of the seventh angel, when they begin the song, the mystery will be finished, and you have the message in tape and book form. Now Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, we teach the wisdom of God, not with words, not that man wisdom teacheth, but words that the Holy Ghost teacheth. Now, like when you read the Bible here, and you begin to read the Bible, then you're speaking. And that word in the Bible, God sealed up this book, just by the way it is spoken. Now, when we say the book was sealed, how was the book sealed? It had no straps in it. Right? It was the way it was spoken. And when you say the seal's open, what do you mean the seal's open? You can prove, when you tell somebody the seal's open, what did he explain to them how the seal's open? A message by Abraham preach. And explain a scripture. And then he explain the next one. And he explain the next one. And he explain the next one. And when he explains seven, there is nothing in the Bible could be hid no more when them seven is explained. See? Because the word was spoken by prophets, it sealed up. So God has to send another prophet to speak it in a certain way. And the way he spoke it, he unsealed it. And while he's preaching, he knows there's a part of the word. He said, the devil get a hold of you, do great damage. So he being a prophet, God gave him words that the Holy Ghost teacheth with, and not man wisdom. And when he spoke it, he spoke it in parables. And he took the scripture, he said, look, Jesus explained 6 seals in Matthew 24, but the 7th seal, all the time Jesus saying, earthquake in diverse places, men are filled with fear, something's going to happen, the time will be cut short, otherwise no flesh will be saved. He's talking like that. There shall be wars and rumors of wars. And then Jesus say, and now 10 virgins went out, and they cried, and they trimmed the lamps, and they had oil, and who did have no oil, and then they come, and the door was shut. And next thing, this man had a household, and he gave different servants a talent of silver, and he gave this one 10 talents of silver, and he gave them 5 talents of silver. And he's talking like that now. And he changes his way of speaking. What is he doing? He's shutting up something. He's shutting up something. And so he says, now there's a man here that can turn the light. And you know, this that one time, you know, I read this story and how this man went in here. And you know, this mechanic was trying to fix the motor car and he couldn't get it started. And this man clean cut walk in the street here and look, he says, my good man, can I help you? You know, what are you doing there? And he says, if I was you, I would do that and I would do this. Maybe you should try that. You ever thought of it? Why don't you do that and see something? And go and start your car. I start. He said, how do you know all that? He said, I'm the one who designed it. And then he said, and that's the one who's here, the one who designed the church. See? And he said, no, I will not. He said, I'm permitted not to speak of the seventh, but I'll tell you about that seventh trumpet. And he explained the seventh trumpet. And he says, no, this seventh trumpet is parallel to the seventh seal. And he leaves it there. See? So it confused people. But what is he doing? He is sealing up part of his message. He opened part of his message and sealed part of his message. And he says, he's going to make a cycle and come back along. Well, when that anointing come back along, it's going to pick up the unsealed part, and then the way it will be spoken, it will unseal it to you. And you will sit down there and hear it, and what seemed mysterious, or like it had a door, it was revealed, yet there remained a supernatural element despite the revelation, and all of a sudden in that part of the comfort, you say, but just the only time is in the book. I see it. I understand what he's talking about now. And you said, I see yourself in it. And then you said, I realize that is here. You see, that's why when you confess he is here, you can only confess he is here by experience. You can only say that cycle has returned by revelation, you know. Because you know you have the faith, you possess it. You can open the Bible and show that seventh seal from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Scripture by scripture by scripture. Why? Because the way you can speak it, you can unseal it. And the way you can speak it, you can seal it up again too. You can bind and loose. Let me tell you, if people can half discern when a man ministry gets near what is available to them, but they don't have to be struggling. Let me tell you, Caleb understood what Joshua had when he crossed that Jordan. Caleb knew Joshua was no Moses all the days of his life. But he said, we receive Moses' message. And we are good ground where that seed fall into. And we make the journey, and here now we can see exactly what Moses was saying there, and we know how Moses unlocked that door, and we know how he turned the key, and we know which key is for which door. We see it. We see how he did, because why? We sing the song tonight. He will lead me in the footprints that he have left. He will guide me and keep me in this path. Faith is the key, friend. You see, that capstone there, that is where the thing is. That is God himself coming to unite with you, the individual and the church. Faith is a revelation. And that revelation is a revelation of your adoption there. Here you're standing there. That is where you're supposed to be. And you gotta walk step by step until you come one with that. See? And when a church grows into that spot there, then the word is in the fullness among the people. That is why the man who is teaching, if he's called to teach, he's gonna catch the word and he will start from here all the way up to there. And by the time he gets there, he would have planted the whole world in that church, opening the mystery of them to go into the rapture. Because the places where people go in the rapture is where I was preaching. Where they're going to... This is an illustration. I'm saying this, but I mean the word. I mean this word here. That is this. See? And from 1965 to 1994... there has been a planting of the word. Because men now have to get it, just stop the tape, play it over, get in the cool air study, play it over, get and bring it to your congregation. See? He said, take this sort of food and feed the people. He says, what? He said, famine is going to come according to the Bible in Amos. There's a famine for not for bread and water, but for the here and the world. He said, and I am commissioned not even to go on the foreign field. I'm commissioned to stay here, and by vision and revelation, God has given me messages, prophetic messages, because it's a prophetic gift, not identified with the people fully yet, but he knew he was born and for him to be a prophet. He knew the prophetic ministry would come in a certain time, but he knew he was doing the work of an evangelist, but he's not an evangelist, but he's doing the work of an evangelist. But when those revelations come in forth, church ages, all them things, by vision, how to place Revelation 1. That is prophecy, because the book of Revelation is the book that was sealed up with seven seals. That's the last will and testimony of Jesus Christ. It was sealed up. Like God told Daniel, shut it up until the end time. A man is going to come and open it. A man is going to catch it from the same one who said, shut it up. And that... When a man becomes an outlet for the thoughts of God, And it opening the way into the promise that you know how to walk in it. Then you begin to recognize the presence of God, because God is unveiling himself to you. And that is why there's churches along the world where there's genuine ministries raised up to plant that word and bring forth that crop. And that crop will know themselves in the word the same way Jesus knew himself in the word, the same way Abraham knew himself in the word. They will know themselves in the word, because they'll be faith of his faith, virtue of his virtue. They'll be the same thing. It's the same kind of crop. And when you miss that, you miss the mark. You just have another church that will become a denomination if God tarries. But when you have that where the word is grown, as it grows and matures, it reveals itself. It changes from glory to glory until it becomes back the original glory. Like the wheat is a stalk, but it gets greater, it becomes a tassel, it gets greater, it becomes a shock, it gets greater, it puts the original grain again. It keeps changing and changing until it comes back to the original thing. The entirety of the word is there among the people. Amen. And that is what's been happening. That is why when that breaks there, the revelation, the rapture, and these things is no longer saying shout voice and trump and the barabram and so on. That's just a little terminology, like a little recipe. See, some people can recite the recipe and they can't bake the cake. See? So the thing is now, when you see it comes there now, because remember, the world opens up. But I'm saying, I've worked all the days of my ministry, 7 truckloads of wheelchairs out in Durban, South Africa, China and Bombay, India, in Germany against the witches and them there with the storm, along the world where he went. He said, but when them 7 truckloads is opening, I've never worked in the realms of the supernatural all the days of my ministry like this last week, where he said, oh, the same spirit that was performing miracles was now revealing truth. But that truth is not going to the flesh, is not going to the human spirit. That truth is going to the soul. That truth is revealing the name and the position of the real you who is in that flesh. You, the attribute of God. That word is to reveal that person, bring them to their full expression. See? And that is why, because the first one and second one couldn't bring a new birth. It could bring them out of the organization, but it couldn't take them into this age. It has to be the opening of the word to bring them into this age. And that is why many people come into this message. But you look in the churches, it's still a Pentecostal church with more information than the Pentecostals. Now listen to this carefully. I won't get to my message tonight. I don't see it already. I'm explaining some things today here, and I hope you're catching it so you understand. You see, when I'm ministering, I'm not just preaching. I'm ministering a certain channel here with a certain principle or something that I'm watching. Now, you go today and you get a woman Catholic, and they go to a Pentecostal church and sit down there and invite to a service. That Pentecostal minister opens his Bible, boy, and he gets down there, and there's only one mediator between God and man, which is Jesus Christ. And he begins to show that let every man will be a lie, God will be the truth, and he begins to hit that spirit there. And next thing people realize, you pray to Saint Cecilia, you pray to this one, you pray to that saint, Saint Peter, and that is the devil. You know that devil worship, that is spiritualism and these things. And then you take baptism, showing the Greek it means baptizo, it means to baptize, to immerse, to bury. And then you say you sprinkle with water, could never mean baptism. Baptism means immersion, how can you sprinkle and so on. Then lick away your infant baptism too, right? Then you say Peter is the first pope, and the bound of Peter, and you show Cornelius, go to bow down and say, rise to your feet as a man just like you. And lick away that. And then they give an altar call, and the man accept that. And say, I accept that. I want to be baptized. I was sprinkled and he's baptized now. Then the pastor said, well, praise God, we have another one saved here tonight. Is he saved? He's not saved. He get a knowledge of certain truths that he didn't have before. In other words, his information about the Bible has increased. But birth has to do with recognizing what part of the word you are. And when that part will have a preach to begin to show you your part of the word, that is the part that's going to bring birth for you. You see, when birth comes, Brother Abraham has to see his place in the word. So your birth is connected with your place. And that's when the Hebrew mother is groaning, when they named the children, they were placed in a certain place. And because they were genuinely born, and that under those labor pains, and that name was uttered, then the placing had to look back to the birth. And the birth was looking forward to the placing. And then since the training, which is between the birth and the placing, had to be relevant to the birth and the placing, where they're coming from and where they were going to. You got the potential to be a farmer and trained to be a mechanic all your life, and you can't look at anything your head had, and then you kind of figure out you're a superseded and you can't save God no more. You know, you got no training for a farmer. You see, the first thing you see about the soil, you see about the rain, you see about different things. By the time you get placed, you can plant your own garden and produce your own crop. Because you train you relevant to what he called you for and where he's taking you to. Because that you are dropped from your mother's womb what you are. God of Jeremiah, before you was even forming your mother's womb, I fought to be dead already. So then when you look at things that way, you get to realize that here we are under this word and we are following certain things. And you hear me pushing here and you know, Revelation 10, 8, 11, and these things, that mystery of the bride, eating that word. You see, that is a part of the word here. And there's a ministry connected with it. See? Just like, now everything is revealed in the shout. Remember, when we opened the 70s, that was the shout. The voice was revealed in the shout, but as a mystery of prophecy. That's why he says, the same voice will call the sleeping saints like it called Lazarus. And he put it as a prophecy, just leave it. Because it is yet to be fulfilled. And the trump, he said, that's the cause of the wedding supper. See? The feast in the skies. And he just put it there. But all those things were revealed in the shout. The shout is the opening of the seven seals. And every mystery in the book was under the seals. That's why if you really see the seals open, the book is open to you. Though the church ages was preached before the seals, the church ages is revealed in the seals. It's really revealed in the seals. You see, it was open first because chronologically he was opening the book of Revelation to show the history of where we came. But then when the mystery come forth now, we realize which seal Luther was under. We understand why that kind of anointing was upon Luther, why he had that kind of wisdom in that age, why they print books and different things, why they in the missionaries, why they spread the Bible, why they invent the printing press and all these things. You see the spirit of man, wisdom, cunningness. When they write all the books, write all the charts, all the great Christian literature came out in that age, you understand how there's an anointing in that age, and those men, they're born in that channel, and their lives grew under that anointing. See? So they were reflecting the program of God for the age. And that's exactly what we're doing. When you hear, this is a prophetic message, you know. This age is not the reformer age of wisdom. This is prophetic insight. This is prophetic anointing. See, the prophetic bride. That's why I show you. There's no more beast after the fourth seal. Fifth seal, sixth seal, seventh seal. Have no beast here. First seal had a beast. Second seal had a beast. Third seal had a beast. Fourth seal had a beast. Four living creatures. The lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. Each one making an announcement, come and see. But under the fourth one, there's no more. Why? Because under that fourth one is eagles all the way through afterwards. Because when you drop over on the Jewish side, it's prophets, Moses and Elijah. When you're in the fourth seal in the last churches, it's a prophet. And between that eagle and those eagles, where the carcass is there, the eagles be gathered together too. There's an eagle bride inside of there too. It's a prophetic age. Prophetic ministry, prophetic anointing. Because it is the age of revelation. See? We have the ability to see. It's a seen age. It shall be light in the evening time. The part of the body related to the light is the eyes. What good will you turn on the light and there is no eyes? Light is no good to a blind man. So God put the light to come at the time when he promised the eyes, the seer, was going to be on the earth. Because it was the time now, the light was coming to earth. Reveal, to shine on the word and show the things that was missing that have to be brought to light and tied together with the word to perfect the word, to perfect a people. Amen. And you see, that is why here in the line of the word, if you don't get with it and realize that there is a channel, there's a vein there, and things are not all what they seem and sound like. You see, when you hear it, you're going to hear it by the Spirit.
When you look at it, you have to understand God nature to understand God language. But remember, that is how he seals it, and that is how he opens it, by the way he says it. See? That Brother Branham said, many will misunderstand the last day messenger by the way he's teaching scripture. Because they've been taught it from a seminary standpoint, from just the evangelical truth of it. But when he brings it and shows, it's not like we take Sunday there, them looking like parables and so on. Look how accurate that is to the hour. From 1946 to 56 is the greatest healing revival struck the earth. 1958, he started their teaching, serpent seed, starting the serpent seed. 1962, he has interpreted everything and he's opened up the white rock with a light never shine on. He has read all man writings, he never spoken them seven thunders, it's there for a purpose. He says, is that the message that's to come forth? We are expecting there to be a message to come forth in the last days that's going to turn the heart of the children back, bring it back to one Lord, one faith, one baptism. When he came back there, he revealed those things in the Bible, and he showed that that message did come forth. Amen. And it's laying there. He said, when you have reason to see it, you will see it. He said, God, let us go blind for a season, like the men in the mess. They went blind for a season. But then a message came in a certain time. Amen. On that Easter Sunday, and he began to speak. And what did he begin to do? The same events that they were quoting, he was now saying it a certain way, putting it back in the word, putting it back in the word, putting it back in the word. And then the eyes were opened. There was a heart birth and he spoke to us along the way. It produced the faith and the expectation and placed them to receive the promise in that hour. Now that's our work. What I explained here to you is what is being done behind the word. And let me tell you, it's not going to be strong here and explained to you all the way. But one by one, like Peter will catch it. One by one, like Paul is going to come to you. The light going to flash across your path, and you're going to wake up and you're going to see it. And you will have your own, I've heard, but now I see. And you will see your name in it. You'll see a path in it. When it strikes you and you see it, then you see yourself in it. Then whenever you read the word, you read it and subconsciously you can't help but read yourself into it every time. Because remember, the bride today is Jesus. The bride is, understand that? He does all three things. He's changing his mask for another act. It was God put on a human mask called William Branham, acting out the prophet part. Then God take that mask off, put on other masks to act out the bride part. But it's he all the time, and Morphe changing mask, playing more than one part. Same actor, but different mask. See? But I'm saying everything except the corporal body, the nail scars, and so on. Well, we're going to have everything except the bald head and the good evening, friends. And the hunting and fishing. We'll have everything except that. We've got to be the same Jesus going all the time. He said, was Jesus in Noah, was Jesus in Joseph, was Jesus in Abraham, was Jesus in Moses, was Jesus in Israel. It's Jesus all the time, all down to the Bible. God was speaking in the prophets, then in the last days, in the fullness of his Son, with us. Then he come in us, write the book of Acts, then come down to seven churches, and then come back in the fullness to reveal the Son of Man again, then go back with us again. Amen. My. And you know, it's very simple once you see it. You know this picture here. Look at this. The pillar of fire with the prophet. That is God above us. In the first and second pole, God was above us. Everybody's photographed like that. But in the third pole, that God will be on human skin. So, and open the seal. We know the only lamb can open, but we hear a man coming and preaching it. There was a lamb in him speaking it. We saw one who was in the corporal body come back in human flesh, because that's how he promised to reveal himself now. So then what happened? Here he came and he was speaking these things. Then another thing. Then when he went off the scene, that same pillar of fire who was with us, the super sign, Emmanuel, so he preached super sign. What are you saying? He didn't preach a thought. He's saying God and man is united.
Super sign is Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. The Word made flesh. The everlasting sign. Here it is. God and man united. Then what happened? Then from there, he split up himself now because from a one-man scripture to a many-membered body. What followed Jesus? Jesus was a one man, but what followed Jesus? A many-membered body. The Alpha Bride, a many-membered body. See? Then come back in the last days, a one man again. Son of Man revealed. Three poles again. But then what's going to fall again? A many-membered body. That same God split up himself now in a many-membered body. So then it's God in us, but as a baby. Because, you know, born a man. Born a baby. And it brings birth to us. And then we desire the sincere milk as newborn babes. Our senses not yet exercised to discern good and evil. So like children, we toss to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Remember long ago how people get tossed to and fro by wind of doctrine? Boy, they pass again. God finishes all things. God finishes all things. Is this something dear God? And so on and so on. And back and forth, people shaking back and forth. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. See, when he's a child, he think as a child. You can't get a revelation from God, but I'm not bringing the revelation. Can't get a revelation from a revelation. So then you realize what's happening. You say, no. We think it's a child. We're expressing childish thoughts. The Word is not saying that. See? Everybody has to get a revelation. Like Brother Bunker, the Baptist man. Baptist man said, I can't accept revelation. He said, well, then you're lost. He said, his church is built on revelation. Same one will of Paul, same one will of Peter, same one will of Philip, same one will of John. Each one has to get by revelation. You have your own rock confession, and that's your lively stone that builds the building. And he's the chief cornerstone. So then from there, what happens? We come now to the place where we're growing up to children, and from children, then we is Lord of all. You're a child, you're a Lord of all, but you're different nothing to a servant. You're being child trained. See, you're being molded and trained for responsibility that is going to come with your adoption, your placing. Adoption don't have to do with birth, it deals with placing of a son. And then you come, then from there you come to maturity. So then, under this last phase from 1965 to 1994, is born, babies, coming to childhood, coming to teenage. You say, but I'm saying Jehovah's a baby, Jehovah's a little child, Jehovah's a teenager, Jehovah's a young man, and then Jehovah here, you know, fully adopted son. Is exactly what has come through the church stage until now. 1994, you have mature sons. You have people that know the place in the world. People say the name in the Word. People can take the Word and hand it there. But that was the work of the Holy Spirit. You watch your tree. He said, look at the tree. Is the fruit at the top of the tree get ripe first? You know why? It's in the sunlight. He said, but then, when them first couple won't get ripe, all don't get ripe at the same time. When Caleb gets an inheritance, I showed you the other night, everybody get an inheritance at the same time. See? But then, when the acceleration of ripening, because the ripening season starts. Why the ripening season starts? Because now the sun is in its full strength. When the sun becomes so strong, no matter what part of the tree is, you'll get ripe. But have the whole tree, see, energized with the rays. And you see in a couple of days, boy, everything ripe on the tree. When one thing about you see one here and you see one over here and you spot one over this side, but then everything gets ripe quickly. And you see the acceleration of ripening and a slowing of growth until there's no more growth. It grows to the full proportion. You see? And then when you watch and see this stages how it comes in the Word here, then you don't realize it's not a struggle. If God wants to get you more mature, you know what God does? He increases the Word in the pulpit. How could the wheat come from a stalk that tasks the sun and get stronger? Is the sun without getting stronger was responsible for it? How can it really come on the top of the water? Is the sun that was pulling it up from the muck and the mire? Is something that pull it? Is something that arrived and changed it? To transform it? So that's why I say the Word can't be stagnated. Once the Word keeps unfolding and you keep walking it, you're going to see the progress. When the seed is planted, you don't have to dig it up to see it growing. You just throw water by faith. You water with praise and with prayer and thanksgiving. Just keep walking and butter and watch and see what it becomes. Because the power is in the seed itself. Power is in the seed itself. Amen.
Okay, just let me get a couple of minutes of this here and be kind of sad. I thought I would share some attitude so you can understand behind the preaching what is happening. Something is moving. Is moving. You see? And when you sit, you realize then that you hear with a discernment. See? But Abraham said Jesus made himself known. He said, how? You see, Jesus couldn't come and say, I am the Messiah. All you have to believe me. He couldn't say that, you know. But he took the scriptures and referred to them the scriptures. And when he referred to them the scriptures, they recognized the scripture coming to pass. Now, that was happening. You see, God takes the scripture and he makes himself known. Christ is revealed in his own word. Jesus had to, God, if you don't speak according to the law and the prophets, you have no light in him. When the Holy Spirit is come, he'll bring back what you heard to your remembrance, what is spoken by the Son of Man. He will show you things to come, his prophecy will teach you all things. So he's taking the past, the present, and the future. And he's going to reveal it to you. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. So the Son of Man spoke his word. He put it on tape and book form. We have it there. So when the Holy Spirit is to speak, now the Spirit of truth comes. I'm beginning to speak. Then you can know it is the Spirit of truth because you're going to take what the Son of Man says. Because the Son of Man had many things to say to you, but you couldn't bear it yet. See? Because that part of the Corinthians, he said, I want to give you meat, but you couldn't bear it. I want to give you milk. Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, and you can't bear it. How be it when the Spirit of truth has come? You're going to lead and guide you to it. Prophet said, I stood it up. You can't know it. Didn't try to understand. You're in a baby stage. You know ABC yet. ABC is always believe Christ. He said, this thing was still his algebra. So come to your ABC first, and the algebra come, you catch it like that, because you've been faithful, you have an obedient heart, you humble yourself and so on, you say, what's going to come to you? It's going to be given to you. See? And that, and you just trust God. If God says, I believe it, you come in obedience to God's word, and God gives it to you. It's simple like that. Just you do with your children. You tell the children something, say, okay, I want this place clean up here right now, do something, pack up your room, straighten up your bed, pack up your books and so on, take the garbage off the floor, put it out, and then come back here. We're right here for you all. When they come back right there, and they realize they did what Daddy should do. When they come and say, Daddy, it's finished. So let me check it out. All right? So that's too true here. Move on there. Put it over here for me. You do. Okay. Anything else, Daddy? He didn't vex and say, Daddy, you man, you fool, you didn't find more work for you to do. He said, is there anything else you want, Dad? Anything else that's still to be done? As far as I know, I'll do it as best as I could. He said, yeah, son, it's all right here. Go ahead now. See? He keep his word. And that's what it is, friends. I mean, a decent guy know that's what comes. People start trying to say, he know knowledge and so on and so. The people who said, how more education me? I have no education. They threw me out of school. My mother said, I came back to school and they won't let me go back to school. Because from the first day in the school, first week I went in the class, but I got a black book. When I leave school, I'm going to get cane the most times. And I was not a bad fellow, really. But I guess I had to pass some things in life. No, serious. I had to pass through those things. But then you know something? Then after that, you get frustrated. You don't even know what love is. Nobody cares for you. Then you try to fend for yourself. And then you get a little selfish trying to fend for yourself. See, because you think nobody interested in you and want to help you. So you learn to become kind of independent with a false independence. It's really selfish. And then that's when I come on a real naughty boy. But then inside of that, then I still in my heart. Suddenly my childhood can't leave me. And I cry and cry and beg and plead God. Plead to the Lord. And then God in sovereign grace come one day. Because the desperation in my heart was, I want to meet God as he talked to Moses. I didn't want to join a church. I didn't want to go somewhere. And that's why I come to the message, come there among the people, 1972, see them for the first time and so on. And boy, I watch around, and 3 months after, I says, something in the book here is different than something here. I couldn't get away from that book. I couldn't get away from that voice. I couldn't get away from that word here. So there's no thing to be trapped in church. And many of you was right back there. We all come to the message together, but you don't know what I know. What? God won't let me get trapped there because, you know why? God raised up to help you. How shall we hear that preacher? I didn't apply for it. He give it to me. I come off the street, they're pushing marijuana. And so now, and what does she say, Yvonne?
We went inside there. Let me close the Bible and talk tonight. We went inside their house, me and Brother Sammy. We was about two naughty boys, and we wanted money to go up in the country and buy this marijuana and these things. And we get a little odd job from her mother to do. And while we scrubbing on the walls in the house, and nobody in the room, we go into the bookshelf. And we pull out recognizing then a message, and I open it, because we want to read about God. Anyone can get a read. And I see this thing here in the book. It's a green book, and it had a document. And that's in my memory. Well, we passed that street. I see Brother Clark and them walk up and down. They never witnessed us one. They tell about no message. Bad boys in the street. And then what happened? Going to Tibet. Stop in Santa Cruz here. 5 months. Holy Spirit brings certain experiences. I know what happened. When the Lord opened the message to me, I got a book from my cousin and began to read them and hear the tape. I saw the same book with the picture I remember in the bookshelf. Came back and I met my friend Brother Sammy. That might come a good boy, and he was still a naughty boy. So I came and I told him, I said, this thing is true. I said, remember what the prophet was talking about? I said, like the truth. But right away, he became a good boy after that. The Lord was doing it, eh? Philip went and found Nathanael, bring him to Nathanael, and so it was going on one thing next, see? And then after that, we come along the message and so on, going along like that. You think I would have known that I would have preached this message around the world? I preached this message on every continent. And just here in November, just like that, I got two phone calls, one from New Zealand and one from Australia. And two different people, I don't know them, just call me up and invite me to come and preach there for Easter, which I'll be there for Easter, on the Fiji Islands. And what happened is, they told me they heard this tape that was preached. The same message I preached right here, the minute much land we possess. And they heard that, and they said when they heard that, they said, that's what we need. And they found out my address and so on from brothers who they got the tape from. And then the brother from New Zealand, well, over the couple of years, we have been in New Zealand 1988, preached there. I don't say it for my personal glory, but Brother Kenny Nazib and Brother Eddie was there. He's a brother from Canada who was in the meeting to testify. I didn't see that. So I can't say my faith don't want to believe. But the man saw the angel of the Lord on the platform standing there. He saw this man standing there. I preached on the seven trumpets and those things. And since then, the amount of people that have circulated are wrong after the years, or you know, for years, people never believed them things revealed. People said, for the Jews, forget it. You know, yeah, sorry, those things. And way back before 1979, the Holy Spirit revealed those things and placed those things out in the local church. And then all these years passed and like leave those things alone. And 1988, I went up there and preached it. I had this professor in a university called Mr. John Parsons. And many might hear about Sir Arthur McShine and Dr. Hugh McShine on Trinidad. Well, they are in an ecological society, an international ecological society. Sir Arthur McShine is the Trinidad representative in that society. And this man is the president who is in the meeting there. He's a professor in a university in New Zealand. He teaches ecology for 25 years. When he heard the seven trumpets, he said, He said, I now understand all my life why I'm teaching here in this university. He said, about the ecological society and all the things they have and saving the world and the environment and everything. He said, when you preach those messages, I understand. He said, what school you went to? He said, where's the background? I said, it's a cut grass. It's a low truck. It's strange. Go up there in Norway, in the Scandinavian countries, up in Norway. And there's a brother called Brother Per Johansson. He heard a tape that I put a low in a mountain of olive leaf with that dove coming in to the electric up in the air. This man has put on plants like Fed Kim and run it by computers. He's a physicist. And the man heard the word one night. I preached about five services there in the meeting. And the man came in tears by the table, crying. Whole hall of people, they were having breakfast. And he looked at me and said, he says, you preaching the bright part of the message. Well, that's kind of startled because he was crying and trembling and
trying to get words out and people was looking around, you know, and we was having breakfast, you know. I said, you seen that? He said, I woke up 1 o'clock this morning and the Holy Spirit showed me that. He said, that had to be our opening. That had to be our opening. He said, how long have you pushing that? I said, I've pushing that for years, you know. I trying to make small talk out of it because I feel embarrassed. Because, I mean, I am this man just preaching in the meeting, but they was hearing the word. And he had an experience here. Well, then the same letter, I think I read it. Did I read it here? I didn't read the letter here about the angel visiting the brother and so on that Brother Leon Long had sent me. But Brother Leon Long, you know, and it embarrasses me because I think that it's just the grace of God. I mean, I see what I see. I look in the message. I ain't seen nothing new that outside the message. I just see what the prophet said and but it said a certain way. And the way he said it brings a faith in their heart. And nobody can deny that. Nobody can deny that because that is what the Spirit is doing. It's the Spirit doing that. If I cannot do that, then I can save people. But my brother Bram Bram said, if a man can heal, he lie. Nobody can heal. Nobody can save. He said, that's a little gift that God gives you, and you use it to help God people with it. See? He had a healing, maybe I'll give to teach or to break down the word or something, to say something or something to encourage a believer. And that's all it is. You see? And that there, the effect that has with people and things that you see, and trying to say it sometimes, you see, people don't have a discernment. As the Spirit say, discern the body of the Lord. You have to discern the body of the Lord. And when you discern the body of the Lord, you hear the word coming forth, and you realize, here is the word. We hear it from home. It's God now, open the way to get us back there. And when I started that message Sunday, changing ropes, putting off the old man and putting on the new man, and getting into, you know, we're going to get into some things there, I'm telling you, it's going to boggle your mind. I mean, last year, I felt that I understood a lot of things about the rapture and so on. And then last year, the Spirit brought them things so refined in the Word and the Scripture there to see where the bride is walking, friend. Let me tell you, you talk about supernatural. The hour is so supernatural. And that the Word, when you can begin to see, you can walk and have control over everything. When you can begin to see, you filter your thinking by the Word and see what kind of taste you have in your soul. What you're pulling for. What is the energy? What is it that is predominant upon your mind? How you react to things when things are going wrong sometimes? Do you get frustrated? Or can you stand there? Can do you find in your house that though he's slain me, I'll trust him? Do you find the grace to say it? Does the Word produce that? The obedience to say, Lord, whatever you require me, I'm willing to do it, Lord. I come to a reservation knowing that whatever God requires of you, there's a willingness to pay the price to see the power come back in your life. And when you begin to see your life begin to move into it, and you then it begins to bring a peace that you know that God let you look in your own life and see he has delivered you, that you have overcome those things. Let me tell you, your adoption, these things, don't look for no angel to come and stand up wrong, you know, with a sword and a trumpet and this kind, you know. It's a revelation. The Holy Ghost, your birth is a revelation. And your revelation wasn't that, let me tell you, your birth wasn't something warm come upon me, you know. Let me tell you, you might have had an experience, and I'm not denying that everybody has to have an experience. And everybody's experience could be different. But the thing is, you don't look back at the experience and say, that is it. You can't judge it by an experience. But if you have that experience and then can't walk in the Word, forget what you had. Because the evidence that experience is correct is when you can walk in the Word, all the Word. When you can obey all the Word. The apostles never went and said, we was in the room, and you ever hear after Acts 2, anybody preach? They was in the room, and you had to get a lick over your head, and you had to hear a wind. Peter never went and preached that. You can't preach that. Because Paul didn't get no wind. And Paul didn't get no speaking tongues the air when he get his own. And then Paul was greater than them who had a lick of fire on their head. And tongue and staggering drunk. So you don't relate to that. But you see, sometimes when people
in their flesh, their faith is not strong enough to grasp something, and their faith can't put them in that sphere, then they want a physical thing to find security in. So they try to find a feeling, but your feeling will change every day. And that's why many times, when you start with that certain feeling, then when you don't get that feeling, you say it's not him. And sometimes it might be him yet, want to take in greater things. But remember, he's a whirlwind. Remember, he's a dove. Remember, he's a lion. Remember, he's a pillar of fire. Remember, he shake Mount Sinai. Remember, he came in quiet. Remember, he was a man walking there. Remember, he beat them with cords. Remember, he called the dead back out of the grave. It all is him. So you can't make him a ball of fire all the time. You can't make him a dovey-lovey all the time. You can't make him a whirlwind all the time. He could change his form, but he can't change his nature. He has a way to do things. You're a father in your home. Sometimes you feel to talk to your wife still sometimes. Sometimes, boy, see your wife looking at the door and wrong. I say, honey, stay up, man, everything is all right. Let's go for a walk this evening or something. And you realize that do give her more lift than you sit down there and you tell her, honey, I married you on so and so date. We married so long and I'm a man of God. And you have to respect me, girl, and so on. And you tell her, all that is true. And she ain't feeling encouraged. You just put your hand on her and then say, honey, let's leave your work alone and go for the drive this evening. And you find that boy, that it do so much more for her. What does God know to do with us? He's not always that he's gonna do one thing one way and do one thing the next way and then you get stereotyped. One day you want to cap on the mountain, next day carry through the valley, next day carry through the flood, next day carry through somewhere else, next day carry on the rooftop, next day down in the prison house, next day it's out in church, next day out in the field walking somewhere, next day out in the boat in the sea. And wherever he was, he's the same. Because it's not a pulpit performance. It's not a platform performance. It's walking with him and talking to him. Amen. So maybe I trust this little talk tonight and make you feel good. And kind of feel, you know, relax and get your heart stimulated to want to walk a little deeper, a little closer to him. You see, let me tell you something. We are getting ready to move into times that we have never moved into. The Christian church for 2,000 years. Long for this day. We thought about it and now we are coming into it. It's like what we anticipate that it might have been is different even to our preconceptions. And now we just want to find ourselves yielding and surrendering and letting go of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, the couple of services we've been done in secret, the message says, and close. Let's give a testimony of what's happening. And some of you can make it out, some of you can make it out too. Don't think it's too hard to come. When we get going there, see us on Sunday evening, it's over 100 people going on, you know. 17, 18 cars, 20 cars sometimes rolling on to see us every time we're going on there. See? And like Brother Jeffrey was telling me last night, he was telling me, he says, Sunday night, he says, people all over the village are talking about what's happening. And people from all over is coming out. I mean, you see some of the strangers in the meeting. Young men, old. It like a attraction, something like if a comet from the sky fall and something is happening. You see, and people are going to get excited as to what is happening. And there is such an atmosphere there that the people, let me go to the service, finish, you preach there, 2 hours in the night, Sunday night down there, and people stay back there an hour after, praising God, worship. Ask somebody, is that right, brother? They're right there. See? They wonder what's happening. And more people come out like, there are some people who on a Sunday used to be around before, many years, they haven't come. Sister Alice, someone was talking to them, and they were saying, he says, since the last time we closed on personal iron, we can't wait for the service. We should have a day service. People just coming, something happening for them. And God is reaching out. It's not the work of man. It's not no personality. People don't interest in that and nobody have no motive to even promote that. But the thing is, the word can come to the people's heart
and give the faith that is needed to rise up and live and walk and serve God in this hour. Because it's time to go out here. This message was sent for a purpose. You see, many of us that are lacking and struggling sometimes, you know. You see, I tell you things sometimes and sometimes you're not accustomed to somebody telling you things. Sometimes you're accustomed to somebody bargaining with you. And maybe sort of making a formal request and inviting, you know, maybe if you can do it, maybe have the time to do it and should you do it or if it's convenient for you to do it. But you see, if you understand the message as it progresses, God is not in that. It's far too important for that. Let me get it by now, the length of time we in the message, we should have surrendered everything to this message. This message of our life, this message is getting us ready to go. And more as it unfolds, is more and more we realize how true it really is. Let me tell you, I am more convinced of the message today than as all the years. Because you know why? With each passing day, God keeps confirming how true this has been. His word he has sent into the earth, and it is going to do it. It will not return unto him void. It will accomplish their purpose whereon it is sent. Amen. And all you have to do is just mix a little faith and see. You will surprise what's going to happen in your life. You will probably see the same thing that back in the corner you walk out there and you boot that devil out of existence. Sure. This word gives you victory. Real victory and you can live and so God, I trust that, you know, you really move with it and move into it and catch what is happening and really get into the spirit of it and you know, our prayer meeting is one of the key things. Yeah. Our prayer meeting is one of the key things. And now, and you don't, you, let me tell you don't know the battles we face since we're going, you think it's just in a bed of roses. Just last week, a thief broke into my house. Yesterday, Brother Ricardo, when they went home, every window in the house was smashed, the whole ceiling was on the floor, broken up. His wife is sick, was going through a hard time, have to go home and face those things. You think it's easy, friend? And you see, he's going to push him back there. I was standing there, walking the living room, see all the covers, everything once and always happening. Maybe I think it's Alice or somebody, maybe spraying up the place or, you know, they spray for little roaches and different things. I said, but they can't spray everything inside the cupboard. And then the whole yard is switched open, it can't be. So then I kind of closed, I said, well, maybe one of the little boys wake up in the night and hungry and go some deep. But then I still kind of figured out, but why, how come these ones high up open here too? And then when I closed it, went back and studied, 3-4 in the morning, went and sleep afterwards, get up next morning, and next thing they were telling me, they said, you know, somebody was in the house last night. You see two bowl of meat somewhere outside here, the video, playback machine we use in the church is gone, the camera, a high-end camera was there, was gone as well. See? The neighbors next door, they had a house that somebody broke into, another house here. Let me tell you, it's not easy. You see rejoicing here and but you think we have it easy? We throw the thing behind our back. And we move on because the very next day I have to come service here. We just close the window and come service. Everybody out here come service. Don't be little children, nobody stay home. Because if Satan could get into your mind and sort of paralyze your faith now and make a step backwards, forget it. God is able to take care of it. You see? And you know, when you really, sometimes, you know, we get set back so easy sometimes. But I'm telling you, it's a battle. When you fight, when you get into warfare, you have to know, you must, if you dish it out, you have to be able to take it too. Exactly right. Because let me tell you, it's not going to be easy to possess this land in a plain church, you know. I tell you, you have to have rugged faith. And God and the word and the service of God can't be a convenient thing. It must mean everything to you. It must mean everything to you. See? I tell you that to encourage you. I know some of you going through some little things sometimes. Boy, you want to set your back, you want to stay home, you want this. And you think you're being justified with a lot of long excuses and explanations. But I tell you, you have to make decisions in certain things.
You have to watch what is important at the time. Because sometimes just the time the anointing turns you back, the time you need to press on a little further. It's the time, but a while you need to give something your undivided attention and can't let it go for a minute. It's the time when you get in, you know, problems. It's not easy, friends. But God told Joshua, he said, be strong and be very courageous. You know why? He says, because no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You're going out there to take your promise. You better believe it, have faith in it, and be persuaded that greater is He inside of you than here in the world. The devil will try to use fear to hold you back, but faith is more powerful than fear. If you receive the word that God gave you, you believe God's truth and reject the devil's lie, you're going to live by faith. You believe the devil's lie and reject God's truth, you're going to be bound by fear. You have a choice. Choose this day whom you serve, who you want to obey. You believe the word and what's going to help you. Let's stand to our feet. Oh my, let's just sing, He careth for you, He careth for you. True sunshine or shadows, He careth for you. He careth for you. He careth for you. True sunshine or shine. Hallelujah. Oh, if you really believe it, sing it, make it personal tonight. He cared for me. Confess it tonight. He cared for me. I believe it. I'm going to stand upon it. Sunshine or shadow, no matter, come with me. Sunshine or shadow, I know the Lord has made a way for me. I know the Lord has made a way for me. Hallelujah. I know He's already made a way for me. I know the Lord has made a way for me. Oh, sing it positive. I will live a holy life. I will live a holy life. Oh, I'll shun the wrong and do the right. Shun the wrong. I'm going to take my stand upon His word and do the right. I know the Lord has made a way. I know the Lord has made a way for me. Oh, sing it again. I know the Lord has made a way for me.
That's my confidence tonight. That's my faith and my trust in him. I take him at his word tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, me. Oh, yes, I know it. I know the Lord has made. I pledge that to you tonight, Lord. I'll shun the wrong and do the right. I know the Lord has made a way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bow our heads. Close our eyes. We look to him in prayer tonight. We'd like to invite Brother Samuel Johnson to come and pray. Hallelujah. Let's all look to him tonight in prayer. It's good for us to be here, friends. To sit at his feet, to hear his words, to realize the simplicity of God bringing the past his word. His unfailing words of promise, how it's coming to pass in this hour. What exactly is taking place, to recognize it, to have the token to examine it, see the characteristics of it, see where he's pointing us, see the emphasis that he's making, see the character of it being revealed. Oh my, just move into it, stand behind it, walk in the light of it. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, precious Lord, Father. We thank you to be in your presence tonight, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
To feel the tender mercies and loving kindness. Your word, Lord, expresses itself in such simplicity, Father. Showing us, God, Lord, of yourself, Lord. In so many different ways, Father. That we could understand, Lord God, the working of your great Holy Spirit. That we could know how to yield ourselves, God. How to walk and how to talk, Father. How to be prepared, Lord God. Truly have said the message is a message of preparation. God, Lord, you have a way, God, of bringing your people to this place, Father. This little way, God, you come tonight, God. With these simple truths, God. It's truly working up your Holy Spirit, Lord. Express these things to our hearts, God. The Bible said that by these divinely revealed mystery truths, our hearts will be literally turned back, Lord. Through these simple experiences, God, in our everyday, ordinary life, God, where you choose to reveal yourself, God, and make yourself real and make yourself known to us, Father, that we could depend on these things, God, and serve, Lord, to make the scriptures more real and more plain, God. We could rely on what you have already said concerning us. Oh God, we thank you, God, for understanding your word this way, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for being able to relate to you and recognize you, God, and even the simple working of your spirit, God, knowing that your greatness is revealed in such humility and simplicity, Father. God, we are so thankful to know, God, that you can make yourself available to us. Truly, your Bible said, when we were sinners, God, you died for us. God, we was nowhere, Father. Ignorant and unlearned, God. But now we could see, God, when the scripture said, God, what is man that thou art so mindful of him that thou would visit him, God, and
hallelujah.
Speak to him and reveal yourself.
Hallelujah.
Make yourself plain, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because you love us, God. Because you care, Father. Because you think about us, God. Because of the great plan of redemption that you had in your mind before the foundation of the world. And Lord, you could have bring us in any other age, God, but you choose this age, God, the most glorious age, Father, when you're showing up your whole self, Lord, when you take the seals off yourself, Lord, and we could see you, Lord, as you is, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God, with all your love and all your mercy, God, and all your attributes, God, Father, that you choose to make yourself so real. Lord, help us, Lord, that we could humble ourselves and humble ourselves around each other, Father, and yield ourselves more, God, to understand the great Holy Spirit, God, that you make yourself known among us, God. Oh, we love you, Father. We praise you, God. We thank you for your servant tonight, God. Bless him, Lord, and strengthen his tired body, God. And the word will have the preeminence constantly, Father, that we will be able to be edified and purified and be made ready for your coming. Oh, bless his family, God. Bless us all together, God, as one people, Father, as we look forward, God, to you, God, when you show yourself, God, unto us. Oh, God, as we go, God, tonight, take us safely home. And let that word be so real in our hearts. And let's continue to meditate night and day on it, God. It says the only way we'll be prosperous and have good success in whatsoever we do. Bless us again, Father. And we go, God, take us safely in Jesus' name. Protect us on the way. Amen.
God bless you. Have a seat. I don't know how many of you may know Sister Cecilia McClashy, who used to fellowship with us, but she's since passed away, and it was on Saturday, and the funeral service is 2:30 tomorrow at London Hill. So if you know her, you'd like to pay last respects, you can attend the service there. From there it goes to the Broadway Cemetery, but our next meeting here is on Friday night for a service. Let us try and come out and bring someone out and just be in prayer for the meetings coming up. We certainly want to really get down in the series here and really dig into it and see a real rapturing grace sweep over the people. Amen. That would really fix our hearts in the coming of the Lord and bring our lives in condition and readiness for that coming. And I'm trusting that God is going to really open it up for us and really inspire it and give you faith sufficient for this hour. Amen. Let us sing. You want a book? I'm not sure if I bring a book here. I don't even see the book have it. Amen. Well, I think it's in the Believer's Songbook. If you have that around.
Who I am, God bless you.